number two, Gale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We are all back together again. All the shows are back in their normal places. But I will say this. I tuned in Monday to Mutt and Callahan.
All right.
Because, you know, I wanted to hear Mark James and Greg Dickerson, I believe, was the pairing. I know Mark was there. I believe Greg was with him.
Dick and James.
Dick and James. And because, you know, they were going to get the opportunity to talk to Tom Brady. Now, during the Open, you heard Jonathan Kraft talking about Tom Brady and basically saying he's earned the right to tell us when he's going to retire. In answer to the question, you know,
he can go out there and play. He's 50 years old and wants to play. Well, let him do it.
I would assume he wouldn't do that, right?
I would assume.
I mean, I would guess
But they're leaving the door open for him.
He's always said that he's going to play till he sucks and then he's not going to play anymore.
Play forever.
And he didn't suck this year, by the way.
No, he didn't.
Not
suck
at all.
No.
Certainly better than any alternative they might have. So you can imagine that the future of Tom Brady was a big topic of conversation. So this was Monday. Mark James.
Yeah, so Brady's still on every Monday, no matter what, no matter who's in.
Right.
So he gets to talk with those guys.
So Mark James talking to Tom.
No doubt about it. Tom, as of today, what's your decision on coming back for your 20th season?
I talked about this a bunch. I mean, I don't think it's a mystery, you know.
When did you ever bring this up, Tom?
We've never talked about this ever.
So stop for a second.
Greg
did Mark not know?
There.
Did Mark not know that Tom said he's
It's been a really...
Kind of no doubt about it.
Real hush hush all year. It never gets brought up.
Super secret thing out there.
Jim Gray asked him. Oprah asked him. Post game press conferences, they ask him. I think Mutt and Callahan asked him.
He keeps saying he's going to play next year.
He said it on Facebook Live on his documentary. He said it at every turn. Peter King, he talked to him about it a year ago. Talked to him about it. He's talked to literally every person in the world about playing. He just wanted to get in there on that sweet action, I guess.
Did you hear the long silence?
He's like, come on, man.
As of today, what's your decision on coming back for your 20th season?
I talked.
How close was he to hanging up? He's like, you know what? I'll talk to you guys next week. When's Mutt and Jerry back? I'll talk to you guys later. Any thought on coming back next year? I know it hasn't been brought up ever.
As of today, Tom, what's your
decision
about coming back for your 20th season?
He's like, come on. And then Greg does try to save him there. Greg does. If Greg doesn't say anything there, that just gets even more awkward.
When did you ever bring this up, Tom? We've never talked about this ever.
See, so Greg, there you go.
Again, this is about this year, and, you know, I love football. I'm going to keep playing. Everyone knows that. And, you know, but... This is very short-term focused.
Right.
The breaking news. Tom Brady's playing next year, unearthed by Mark James. Nobody had that info before.
I talked about this a bunch. I mean, I don't think it's a mystery, you know?
Yeah, I think every single week we hear about it.
Doubt about it.
Yeah, well, true. There's some doubt, maybe.
Well, thankfully, we had somebody on the scene.
Yeah. Sniff that one right out.
Get to the bottom of this.
Good.
Willing to ask the difficult questions at the difficult times and getting a straight answer.
Let me throw this one at you. If they win the Super Bowl, so if they win three more games, do you think he could walk away?
No.
I talked about this a bunch. I mean, I don't think it's a mystery, you know?
All right, fine.
No, I think he's
That's the only chance in my mind would be, all right, this was... I think it maybe got overblown at times how bad of a year it was. I think he still had a good year, but we saw a season where quarterbacks were just having crazy numbers. They're off the charts across the board. And, you know, he didn't go to the OTAs last year, and maybe his commitment level has changed a little bit. Certainly in the offseason it has. And does he want to go through this again?
I'll be curious to see if that changes next offseason.
Yeah, I wonder.
I wonder if he's going to look at this past season, and it's not over yet, but this season, and say, you know what, I wasn't as good as I've been, and I don't think it was age that was the issue. I think it was my off-season training. And I'll be curious to see how he handles it.
Right, or is that just the deal that he has? You know, because, again, you go back to he and Giselle and the interviews that they've done, and it's gone kind of back and forth.
She keeps saying it's up to him.
Now she's saying it's up to him. Right. But how does she really feel?
I don't know.
You know, like, you could say it's your decision, but you also know how I feel about it. And if she's saying, you know what, Art, you can keep playing, but guess what? In July or whatever, when you're normally with the team or you're up in Montana, you're doing all this stuff, you're going to be with us. You're going to maximize the time in the true off season, and then once the year starts, you can go back to normal.
There are some places I saw where Nesson did this, and I think some other places have done it as well online. And it's an interesting question if you think about for 18 consecutive years, maybe more, but for at least 18 consecutive years, if at the end of the regular season I said, who's the Patriots MVP? You had the exact same answer every single time.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm not sure it's that answer this year.
Does he have somebody over him, though?
I might say Stephon Gilmore.
Really?
I might say Trey Flowers.
No, not over, I wouldn't. Not over Brady. I still think... Do you think the defense is better than the offense? Because I don't.
I think that there are players on the defense who've had better years than Brady's had.
I think Gilmore had a good year, for sure. But I think...
Trey Flowers did, too.
Yeah, they both did. And good timing for Trey Flowers, as he's going to cash
in. He's going to get paid.
Maybe somewhere else. Maybe he goes somewhere. But I think Brady was still had a really solid year. You know, again, it wasn't an MVP caliber year. In fact, I didn't even think he should have made the Pro Bowl. I thought he should have just missed the Pro Bowl.
Well, we said that when the Pro Bowl announcement was made, we said he's not a Pro Bowl quarterback.
No.
Not this year.
No, he's not.
Now, he finished the season really well, last game especially, 250 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Great. Everything's great. And he was really good this year. In the past, even thinking of another candidate for MVP seems silly.
No, but he's still, I mean, he's far and away their most important player. I mean, just the
That's
position
different,
right away. Okay.
Most, so the important most, is different.
Well, he's also the most valuable, I would
yeah,
say.
See,
I think he is.
I think that other guys on the team have had better years than he's had.
Yeah, Gilmore,
and I gave you two right off the top of my head.
Well, I think part of it is, yeah, Gilmore, the position Gilmore plays is just, it's so difficult to consistently be good, just the way the rules are set up. Like, even top corners in the league, you see highlights of them getting torched and just, you know, bad games for them. But yeah, you can make a case that Gilmore was one of the four or five best corners in the league.
Definitely should have been a Pro Bowler.
And Brady was,
has no issues.
And Brady was not a top four or five quarterback this year. He
wasn't. Just and I understand how important the quarterback position is, and it's the most important position in football, and he's still better than a lot, if not most. But it's the first time in a long time where I had to actually think about it. Who's the MVP of the team this year? And I'd say, well, instinct is always to say Brady.
Brady's still their best offensive player, right?
Yes.
So I think, I mean, because you look at all
especially
the guys.
Especially now, because Gronk is not.
Gronk is
anywhere
not
near what he's been.
James White had a really nice season, but it's Brady. And to me, it's pretty clear cut. And I still trust the offense more so than the defense. The two are probably closer in line than they have been in some years. But I think the offense, like if it came down to getting scoring or, you know, or getting a stop late in a playoff game, I think they have a better chance of scoring than they would getting a stop.
It's just the first time where it's even, well, the first time since the year he missed.
Yeah, but
where it's even been a question mark.
I mean, like 0-1, though. I mean, you go back to 0-1.
Well, I said 18, and
yeah.
I skipped the year where he missed the entire season except for the first quarter.
Right.
Obviously, that isn't included.
Oh, every other year, yeah. Most important guy. Because even going back to like 0-2 when they missed the playoffs, he still led the league in touchdown passes. Everyone's like, he didn't put up stats. Like, well, he kind of did. Like, there were some years where he still had some pretty good numbers. I mean, he's so consistent. I think one of the surprising things is how the numbers went. Like, he had the 12th best quarterback rating in the league this year, and it was 97.7, where most years 97.7 is really good and probably puts you in the top five. This was just, you know, the year of the QB rating, where you had nine guys with over 100. And some bad quarterback, like Kirk Cousins, has a better quarterback rating than Brady, and nobody's saying that Kirk Cousins is better than Brady. So it's not like he's the 12th best quarterback necessarily based on those numbers, but you would just think these guys, there's a lot of silly completion percentage numbers this year, a lot of real silly touchdown to interception numbers this year, and Brady's were, it was good. But it just it wasn't like we've seen in the past.
29 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
Yeah, that's not.
Quarterback rating of 97.7, which again is good, but it's 12th best in the league.
Right, and even the 29 touchdowns puts him 10th, and the guy they might be facing in the AFC Championship game had 50.
Completion percentage, Brady was 18th in the league this year.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
18th.
Especially when you consider, you know, their offense, where they're not chucking the ball deep down the field too much. Like, they do, like, with Edelman and White, two possession-type guys that, you know, the completion percentage to those two, who you throw to the most, should be really, really high. It's that number is really surprising.
Touchdown passes, 10th in the league.
Yeah.
And by the way, the guy who was first in the league had 50.
Right. There's a bit of a gap there.
You had 29, yeah. You know, he had 50.
So no incentives. We knew that going through it. There was a chance maybe he was going to get yards, or maybe he was going to get this, or maybe there was a chance.
The best he did was passing yardage.
Yeah, right.
He was seventh in passing yardage.
Right.
That was the best of all of the things that he could have done. I mean, you look at it and you say he was good.
Yeah, solid.
He was a good, solid quarterback.
Brady and Gronk going into the year both had a chance to make more money with these incentives. Neither one got them. And neither were really all that close.
And Gronk.
Gronk was just.
Looks like a shadow of his former
self. So far away. He really does. Even the last three games, just a real non-factor. And it does feel like this is it. Like more than anybody else on the team. Like more. And again, well, really just specifically, you know, Brady, Belichick, Gronk, how much longer each one goes. It feels like the guy who's the youngest is clearly the most likely to be done at the end of the year.
He's starting to look like a 40-year-old quarterback. Or 41-year-old quarterback. No, I'm talking about...
No, I'm saying Gronk is the most likely to be done. Like Brady,
I think Gronk is done, yeah. Brady isn't, but Brady's starting to look like a quarterback in his 40s.
Yeah.
He's not one of the 5, 6, 7 quarterbacks that you think of as the best quarterbacks in the league.
But you know how you can make a 40-year-old quarterback look better is you get him like an Alvin Kamara or a Michael Thomas. Now, I know Drew Brees is 39, but look at the season that he had, and a part of that is... the guys he's got around him, like the game changers he's got. Like some of those, you can go back and just look at the Saints highlight tapes, and there might be plays where he just flips the ball out to Alvin Kamara for like 3 yards, and then he'll take it to the house. I don't know. Patriots don't have any of those guys.
To put it in perspective, Tom Brady had a good quarterback rating this year of 97.7. Drew Brees was 115.7.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
Best in the NFL, 115.7. His completion percentage was 74.4.
Yeah, just silly.
He had 32 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
Tom Brady had 29 and 11.
Right. Yeah, he did not have a top 5 quarterback season, and that is rare. I mean, over all the years, you go back through whatever stat you want to use, and I think wins should also be included in there. And even for Brady's standards, 11-5, most teams would kill for 11-5. That's a great successful year. You win your division, that's amazing. But even that, you got to go back a ways for a year in which they lost that many.
I was at the game Sunday with my family, and it was great. It was a perfect day. You know, it was a really nice late December day, perfect atmosphere. You never thought the game was in doubt. And when he overthrew Chris Hogan in the end zone.
Oh, my God, it's wide open. Of course it was Hogan, too.
But I can't blame Hogan. He can't go back any further.
No.
He's at the back line practically of the end zone. He can't go anywhere else.
But Hogan gets wide open more than anybody else. Like, teams don't cover him.
Tom Brady misses him by 5 yards over his head. And you see Brady down on his haunches with his hands on his helmet. Yeah. Because he knows. He makes that pass 99 times out of 100.
But that was as good of a game as we've seen from Brady. And I know the Jets were so cooked going into that game, like more so than any other Jets game, because Todd Bowles is essentially already fired. They had guys on their team just not showing up to stuff. Trane Johnson didn't go to things. He's like, I'm not going. Walk through, I'm not going. Practice, I don't really feel like going.
Like Antonio Brown this week.
It's like, yeah, true. That's another whole thing I want to get into. But Trane Johnson, they had guys hurt. Like, Anunua was on the IR. Jermaine Kearse was hurt. They were so cooked. They're on the road playing for nothing. They know it's not even going to be the same coach. So they were awful. But the good news was Brady looked pretty good. We've been talking about the knee injury all year long.
Yep.
And he looked pretty healthy. So that's the most positive thing. The Jets and Bills are both trash. They were going to beat both of those teams at home. But the fact that Brady was moving around and throwing as well as he did, that was the most promising thing.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. You are watching Tom Brady's greatest achievement. This is easily the worst team that Bill Belichick has ever provided for Tom Brady. Defensively, receiver core-wise, it's the worst supporting cast Tom Brady has ever had in his 19th season. And yet, if not for the Miami Miracle debacle, and you said that Bill Belichick has to take full responsibility for that.
Yes,
so
yes.
Without that, Tom Brady has lifted his supporting cast, or what's left of it, He would have lifted it to the number one seed in AFC. That's extraordinary.
God, I hate to say it, but...
No, this is not the worst team he's ever had.
No. His point about if not for having Gronk on the field for the end of the Miami game,
dumb.
Tom Brady has got the Patriots as the number one seed in the AFC. I mean, I hate to say it, but Skip's got a good point here.
No, he's got a good point on that, but I think he's overstating it. So you think this group of receivers is worse than 06? Like, give me a break. There's no chance it's worse than 06.
Without Josh Gordon, it might be.
Yeah, but still, you had Josh Gordon for whatever
right.
it was, 12 games.
But as you look at it going into the playoffs,
I still think Edelman at this stage is better than anybody. Is better than Rashay Caldwell. And a broken down Gronk is better than, who was the tight end that year? Was it Watson maybe still?
I don't know. Ben Watson. I liked Ben Watson.
Okay, he couldn't catch. He couldn't catch anything.
But Gronk is not even a shadow of his former self.
No, he's
right
not.
Now.
But he was the best tight end of all
he
time.
He was.
So I think even if you take two huge steps backwards, you're still better than some of those guys they had there. I still think 06 is worse.
As I was watching the game on Sunday, and I was there, I actually said to the guy who was sitting behind me, a friend of mine, I said, do you think Brady knows what guys need to hit bonus numbers?
Yes.
Like,
I think he does.
See, I think it's a bad thing if he knows.
But I think he definitely does.
Because does he then alter, you know, what he's trying to do? Now, against the Jets, it doesn't matter. The Jets suck.
Well, first of all, you know he knows his own. So you know he knows how many touchdowns he needs, how many yards he needs. But as the season's going on. No, I know.
Like, if he's sitting there saying, I got to get Edelman 7 catches. Do I got to get Julian 2 touchdowns.
Well, I think, but I think he's also smart enough to not force it, you know, at the point of, you know, turning the ball over or losing the game. Like, he's not going to do that. But I think he's probably aware, hey, if I can get Julian Edelman 2 touchdowns here, he's going to get another $500,000.
Do you think Julian Edelman says, hey, Tom,
yeah,
2 touchdowns and I can afford new shoes for the baby.
It is one of those like half joking ones. It's like, hey, but like with a lot of seriousness. Like, hey, you know, if I get 2 touchdowns this week, elbow. He's like, yeah, ha ha ha. He's like, no, seriously, throw me the ball. I need these 2 touchdowns. I missed 4 game checks at the beginning of the year. I need this money. Please throw me the ball. So I think he's aware of it, but I don't think he's obviously. You saw the game unfold, so it was not going to be. He's still going to throw it to everybody. He spread the ball around. It wasn't just a Julian Edelman game. By the way, the 06 receivers, the top 5 leading receivers in receptions, Rashay Caldwell, Ben Watson, Kevin Falk, a 35-year-old Troy Brown, and Doug Gabriel. I will take this group of Edelman, Gronk, James White, Chris Hogan. They're better than that group. Take that, Skip. You like that group?
No.
Okay.
No, but Skip's overall point, which I hate to say I agree with him.
If
Belichick Bill Belichick
screw up,
and Brian Flores don't say, hey, I got an idea.
Gronk, yeah.
Let's put Gronk back there and see how that works out for us.
They screw that up.
If I have an ideal, let's take our best defensive player the backfield.
Take him out.
Devin McCourty. Get him off the field.
Don't want him out there.
Let's put the broken down tight end in.
Ugh. The more you think about it, the worse it looks, especially the games. And he actually had a pretty good game, Gronk did, against Miami, but it was also the way Miami defended him or didn't defend him. But watching Gronk play the last 3 games of the season and then thinking back to they put him in defensively on the old Desperado play, Dale.
Which we didn't know was a thing. We now know. We now know Desperado's a thing.
Well, now we're on the inside. Now we're football guys now. Desperado. They run the Desperado. That was so dumb. And, yeah, they would have had home field throughout. But it still wouldn't have changed.
And think about that.
Yeah.
With all the flaws, all the blemishes on this football team, they are that play away from being the number 1 seed in the AFC.
And I said at the time, they're not going to go to the Super Bowl because of that play. And if Kansas City wins their game in the divisional round, I think I will be right. I think it'll be similar to if they didn't do the Steven Jackson establish the run game against Miami a few years ago, the Patriots play at home instead of at Denver in the AFC Championship game, and they probably go to that Super Bowl too. So, I mean, we don't know exactly what would have happened. We don't know for sure that they would have won if they didn't just hand the ball to Steven Jackson 20 straight times or whatever it was, but I feel like they could have. I feel like they had it in them to win that game.
We know that, you know, that Mark James grilled him and got Tom Brady to concede that he was going to play next year.
Yeah.
When nobody else could get the answer out.
Nobody else would ask. Nobody else had the guts to ask him.
I mean, no one else would have thought of it.
Yeah.
So we know that he says he's going to play next year. Now, the question, I think the greater question becomes, what's the point where he says, I'm not good enough? Like, he said, I'm going to play till I suck. He doesn't suck.
He does not suck.
But he's like middle of the road right now. He's slightly above.
He's on the top half of the middle.
Yeah.
Like, if you split it up into thirds, he's at the bottom part of the first third or the top of the second third, however you want to look at it.
Like, if he falls into the, 19 to 23 range next year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's, you know, the Tennessee game stands out to me. Even the Buffalo game where they just really just ran the ball, like the most recent Buffalo game where they just ran the ball more than they passed. If you start to pile up more games like that, then I think that's what it looks like. You know, but overall, he still had a lot of solid games this year. You know, the Miami game, again, the dumb Gronk decision game, he was pretty good. The Minnesota game, I thought he was pretty good. Both games against the Jets. So, like, he's had plenty of really good games, but I don't know what that number is to him. Is it if I'm no longer in the MVP consideration because he's not in it this year?
Look, I don't even think he should be a Pro Bowler this year.
Don't you think the playoffs are going to really be a big part of that? Because once you commit to the season, like, you're all in. Like, I've made this point before. He said, if I suck, then I'm going to be done. Well, if all of a sudden you suck in week 9, what do you do? Like, you got to keep playing. Sorry, you got to keep playing. But how the playoffs go, how he feels in the playoffs may really determine, all right, now, and maybe it's now year to year type of thing. And oh, by the way, he still only has 1 year left on his contract. Like, they never gave him an extension or anything.
We'll talk
like that
to Tommy Kern about this when he joins us in just a few minutes. What it means is that if you're the Patriots, you've got to enter into a contract negotiation with Brady in this offseason. You've got to lower that cap number for next year, which is in the mid-20s.
Yeah, or high 20s, I think.
I thought it was like 24.
It doesn't matter.
You don't want that as the cap hit for next year. You want to enter into a contract negotiation with him. You want to extend him, as they've done every single time.
Yeah.
You know, give him a 3-year extension at, you know, X number so that the cap number goes down to this. But realistically, you know, he's never going to see the end of it.
Yeah, well, unless he wants to, right? That's what Jonathan Kraft said. He wants to keep playing. He'll keep playing.
But that's the question.
No matter what. But does Belichick want him to keep playing, too?
How long does he want to keep playing?
45.
Without putting the number on it, because he's also said, I'm going to play till I suck.
I think this year was good enough to keep playing.
Oh, yes. This year, yes.
Yeah.
But if the slide continues, because there was a slide, you'd have to admit.
Yes, I do.
There was a slide from last year to this year.
Yeah.
There's probably going to continue to be a slide next year.
But my bigger question, and he would, I mean, this is going to make him look a whole lot better or worse, is what does the receiving group look like next year? Is it Edelman, Philip Dorsett, James White, Sony Michel, and Jacob Hollister? Then it's going to be tough to look really, really good. It just is.
Yeah.
Brady's made up for a lot of subpar receiving cores in the past, or, you know, decent but not elite receiving cores in the past. If it's still is bad and you're searching for the Brandon Cooks replacement, the Josh Gordon replacement, and you downgrade completely from tight end, even though it was a bad Gronk year, you still had Gronk. So there are certain factors where teams will still double team him and he's still getting the attention. Nobody's double teaming Dwayne Allen. Nobody's double teaming Jacob Hollister. So I think that is a pretty significant part, too, is who else is going to be playing around him.
Offensive line was okay.
I thought it was good.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't have any problem with it.
Running back was improved. I'm not taking anything away from Deion Lewis, but Sony Michel was he had the possibility on Sunday of actually accomplishing a 1,000-yard rookie season. Missed it by a little bit. He needed 119 going into Sunday.
Yeah, doable.
And perfectly doable. Didn't make it, but, you know, pretty good.
Right.
Your running back tandem is fine.
Yeah, fine. It's fine. No, like, real playmakers, like, that's one thing when you look around right now and you see some of the guys that are in the playoffs, whether it's Tyreek Hill or DeAndre Hopkins or Keenan Allen or, you know, just go down the line, a bunch of guys in the NFC, those real, whether it's a receiver, a pass-catching running back, whatever, the Patriots don't have that. Like, I like James White a lot, but just that next level up from him, that the super dynamic player where every time he touches the ball, there's a threat of him scoring a touchdown. I feel like Tom Brady could use a guy like that.
Back to...
Whoop. What's the name of the show? Where's Dale?
Dale and Keith.
You do know that it's not the Rich Keefe Show
on WEEI.
So I don't know if he necessarily leaked it. I think that there is a presumption among the coaching staff that they have a system and a way of doing things that can succeed with virtually any player. But also, too, Steve, your point is excellent. I think that Brady, in a conversation with Jim Gray, while we will take it at face value, he's saying he wants to continue playing. I think that there is also, and has always been, Brady's supposition he might finish his career someplace else. So this is broadcasting to the nation. I am going to keep playing. So if you think that I'm playing poorly right now, I intend to keep playing past this year. So if you want to make a run at me, or if the Patriots somehow release me or move on from me, or we come to a divorce, I still want to play.
Well, thank God we had Mark James to get to the bottom of whether or not Tom was going to play in his 20th season next year. That was Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, who was filling in for us last week. Tom joining us right now. Hello, Tom. How are you?
Happy New Year, Dale. How's everything?
Happy New Year to you. Everything is great, thank you.
Terrific.
Let's start with Brady. He has said in the past he's going to play until he sucks. He doesn't suck. But he's also kind of a low top-end quarterback in the NFL, somewhere in the 10 to 15, 16 range. By Brady's standards, how do you think he feels about that?
I think that he feels that there will be qualifiers attached to that and say, how have I played the position relative to the guys around me? Have I had Michael Thomas, for instance? Have I had Tyreek Hill? Have I had Travis Kelce? Have I had any other number of players, Todd Gurley, whatever? So I think that Tom Brady would feel as if I've actually played relative to what's around me pretty well this season. I don't quite suck yet, but I think he'd also look at the horizon and say, how drastically improved will we be going down the road? Now, I'm saying that, Dale, too, presuming that's what he'll say, because right now I think he is eyeballs deep in 2018 and not thinking about 2019 except to answer the question that Gray posed.
Yeah, I was just saying to Dale before, like, he could look a whole lot better if you have Alvin Kamara or Michael Thomas or all these other guys that you've named. It's a lot easier said than done, though, to acquire them.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, though, Tom, looking at the six quarterbacks that are in the AFC playoffs, where would he rank as far as guy you feel the best about winning a game?
I mean, come on, Rich. I mean, who's around him? I mean, I would feel better about him than Lamar Jackson. Would I feel more comfortable if Tom Brady was quarterbacking an offense with DeAndre Hopkins as a part of it? Probably. But I think that if Deshaun Watson was here, I'd give.
All right, say with the current weapons, I guess. So like, which offense? Like, where would you put them? Like the
Patriots are more likely to be shut down than I think they've been at any time since 2010.
Yeah, okay.
Or 2013.
I agree with that.
Because they we've talked about this a little bit, what McDaniels has had to cobble together in terms of trying to figure out ways to generate offense. Sometimes it looks horrible because he has to get inventive, but that's where they are. So I think they'll win their divisional playoff game, and then whatever happens, and I would say it's probably 50-50, they'd be here for the AFC Championship game, then all bets are off.
Setting aside what he says, because I understand he has to say things at this time of year which may or may not be true, you don't believe Tom Brady's knee is healthy, do you?
I believe it's fine. I don't believe it's any impediment at all to him performing.
So those who say that he's playing with an MCL problem are overstating it?
Yes. He had an MCL after he injured it against Tennessee on that pass that Edelman threw to him. That was over a 2 to 4 week period. That's usually about what it takes to get repaired. It was. And I think he had some pretty good evidence over the last couple of weeks. One, even when he overshot Chris Hogan and started bouncing up and down on a supposedly still damaged knee. And then on the dead run laser that he threw for a touchdown to Philip Dorsett. I just don't think it's an impediment to him performing right now.
But I want to go back to the Hogan pass for just a moment, because we've been saying this all season long. He's missing passes I'm not used to seeing him miss. And the Hogan play was just one of them. We've seen it happen other times this year. How do we explain that?
He missed it.
But he's missed a lot of them this year. He's underthrown guys who are in the open. He's overthrown guys who are in the open. He's thrown behind guys who are in the open.
If we did a cut-up of all the easy throws that he missed this year and then did a cut-up of other years too, really, I think they'd probably come out to a fairly similar number. Guys miss throws. Dale, I mean, it's just, when has he looked more uncomfortable in the pocket this year than in other years? 1,000%, I would give you that. Have there been more ugly throws where he said, I'm not going to continue to fight through this play, I'm going to launch it into the cheerleaders? 1,000%. But, you know, overshooting Hogan as he did, I believe, on Sunday by a fair amount, or the way he did in Miami prior to taking the sack, yeah, those plays look bad. But I just don't think that, I think we have a tendency to overstate because of a recency bias that, and his age, that he's coming undone.
I got a really tough question.
Do you agree with me, or do you think what? I'm an idiot, Rich?
Who? I don't think you're an idiot, Tom. I don't. I think it's
absolutely missed some easy throws.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. But I also think it's tricky because he's the only quarterback in the league, at least for me, that I watch every single one of his throws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't do that with everybody. I'm sure these other guys are missing throws. Although, based on the stats, Drew Brees hasn't missed any throws.
Hasn't missed many.
I don't think he's missed any.
No.
But these other guys, they must. And so, just because he's not the same guy that he was, well, he was winning the MVP before. So, that's, I guess, to be expected a little bit.
And that's the thing. The 14 to 17 Tom Brady, 2014, 15, 16, 17, it's the best he's played. But we could go back to 2005, 2010. Actually, he was the unanimous MVP that year.
Well, 2013,
and say, oh my God, what was that?
But to see Tom Brady 18th in the NFL in completion percentage.
That's surprising.
When it's a quarterback league, it's easier to play quarterback than it's ever been. Tom Brady was 18th in the league.
You're right. Where would you rank the guys he was throwing to relative to everyone else? I mean, I do. There comes a point at which I sound like a full-on apologist because I'm going counterpoint. I agree. Those stats have to be out there. What you're asking me for is some kind of a reasonable explanation. To me, there's not a lot available. They entered the season with a wide receiver, Philip Dorsett and Chris Hogan as their starting wide receivers. Cordarrelle Patterson, it took them 12 weeks to figure out what they could do with him. They brought in a guy who hadn't played since 2013 in Josh Gordon to play wide receiver for him, and he lasted 11 games, and they made him somewhat relevant. Gronk hasn't been Gronk. They had to cobble together a running game with Cordarrelle Patterson and a rookie, Sony Michel, who was down for 4 weeks. And everybody else in the league, those numbers in terms of completion percentage have gone up because it has become easier to throw. I just don't think that we have enough data on Tom Brady sucking or even looking average in the past.
Compared to the rest of the league, I know his completion percentage and quarterback rating, he ranked higher in 06 than he did in this year. And I would say 06 he had worse receivers and running backs and tight ends. But
yeah,
that's just one number. I have a question that's going to twist your mind into a pretzel, if you're ready for that.
Oh, boy.
I hope you're sitting down, and everybody can answer this. We can do an exercise after this. Who is more important to the Patriots offense right now, Rob Gronkowski or Sony Michel?
Sony Michel.
Oh, you didn't even want to think about it. Wow. All right. I thought it was going to be a tougher question, but so Sony Michel.
Don't you think?
I do think it's Sony Michel, but
they're
I think
going anywhere if they can't run the ball in the playoffs, and they certainly aren't going to run it with Rex Burkhead.
Right.
I mean, he
right.
is driving me bananas.
Yeah. Why do they play him as much as they do?
Because he is the only one that they can put out there that has a 50-50 chance of either being run past.
Right.
They've gotten so devoted to running Michelle, you know, doing it about 77% of the time when he's on the field, and they become so predictable that when James White is on the field, they're going to throw it about 70% of the time. That at least when Burkhead's on the field, you have to have some personnel defensively where you're like, it could be either one. What do we want to go with? And you can try and match it up.
When I look at the things that the Patriots have been able to do defensively, and I said this to Rich earlier, I might say the MVP of this team is not Tom Brady, it's Stephon Gilmore.
That's not unreasonable at all by any stretch. Defensively, you know, they have, and I have a tendency to, as we all do, I think, you grade on a curve and you look at the games that, you know, in the competition that they've played, but they really needed to come up with, you know, some games here at the end where they shut teams down. They played well defensively against the Pittsburgh Steelers, against great complements of receivers and an explosive offense, and they held them in check. They beat, you know, he handled the better receiver, Zay Jones. He handled whoever the hell it was, Robbie Anderson. I mean, just took Robbie Anderson out of the game.
Right.
I know it's the Jets and Darnold, but he had been a good player. So you take that Tennessee game out of the way where he got lit up by Corey Davis, and he is easily the all-pro cornerback. And I just finished doing my all-pros and awards and sent them in, and I did put Stephon Gilmore down as the all-pro corner, one of the two.
probably the only Patriot on your All-Pro list, I would imagine, right?
Shaquille Mason.
Oh, okay.
Getting a vote over there at right guard.
Sure.
And again, with the stuff up front, I do try and solicit information from people who do more of the analytics and watch more of the line play. And I wasn't on an island with thinking that Shaq Mason looked good.
Interesting. Now, out of the three possible opponents, the Texans, Ravens, and Chargers in the divisional round, who, Tom, is the best matchup for the Patriots, and which team would be the worst matchup?
The Ravens are the best matchup.
Oh.
Don't you think?
No.
I mean, okay, why?
I think they have the best defense. So I think Lamar Jackson's clearly the worst of the three quarterbacks that they could face, but I think John Harbaugh is the most competent head coach, and I think their defense is the best. And I know it's a lot of different players, but the idea of them going into New England and winning, I think, is better than Houston's.
They also got the best kicker.
There you go. Add that
I
to
hate
the,
to go to that point, but he is just a weapon.
It could come down to that, sure.
He really is a pain in the ass. Justin Tucker with the game on the line.
Yeah.
And I know he missed an extra point this year, and I lost in New Orleans. That's fine. He's still the best kicker of this generation.
That's right.
I would say there, and then probably San Diego, you know, to me would be second, and then Deshaun Watson and the Texans. And I know that we've got a history in terms of watching games up here where the Patriots deconstruct Houston.
Right.
But DeAndre Hopkins is whoever they get in the divisional round, guys, to me, is meat. Because right now the Patriots are breaking down all three of those opponents in great detail. And by the time Sunday night ends, they will be full on preparing for whatever opponent it is. And that's why I think, except for 2010, when those two teams were so familiar with each other, except for 2010, when the Patriots lost to the Jets, they just bury teams in the divisional round because they're able to study up and get ready for them while that team is playing a very intense game the week before and then comes off the high of winning and then turns around and goes, oh, now we have to go to New England.
Do you believe Josh McDaniels will be the offensive coordinator here next year?
I don't know if he really necessarily would love to be. I think that he wants to get out and get that head coaching opportunity that he, you know, eschewed last offseason. But it hasn't emerged yet. I mean, the only if Josh McDaniels is if I'm in his brain, I'd say I want to go where the young quarterbacks are. So far, his opportunity is with Andy Dalton in Cincinnati and Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. And if I were him, I'd want to be in Arizona with Josh Rosen, or New York with Darnold, or definitely Cleveland with Baker Mayfield. So none of those have afforded themselves yet.
Not Green Bay.
He's frying pan into the fire a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's appetizing, but it's the same thing with a set in his ways quarterback. Will Aaron Rodgers, who seems like a much more difficult person to work with than Tom Brady in terms of wanting to do things his way, will Aaron Rodgers yield to what McDaniels wants him to do, or will he, as Peter King has alleged, be so thirsty for coaching and knowledge, will Rodgers be like, please just tell me things because Mike McCarthy didn't.
What's your best guess on Brian Flores, who his name's popped up as well?
I think the Steve Wilks and Vance Joseph hirings from last offseason with guys who had been just briefly coordinators might make teams think twice about Brian Flores, who just hasn't been a coordinator yet. And even the de facto level that he had, I think last week he mentioned how different it was and how much appreciation he had for what coordinators have done over the years. I think that Flores would be much better served sticking here because unless you have a godfather type in the GM role, as Bob Quinn has been for Matt Patricia, it's going to be hard. And if you're going to go to one of these teams that have an outstanding quarterback prospect, you need to bring somebody with you that's an outstanding quarterback or offensive coach. So those are the hard things about hiring a 37-year-old guy who hasn't yet to be a coordinator brings with him. Does he have that support system and the staff around him that he can drag with him to wherever he goes? And I'm not sure if Brian has developed that yet.
Tom, we always appreciate the time. Enjoy the bye week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Tom.